I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! Check this out.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is a safe space for independent thinkers out there beholden to no party, no politician. Just call them like we see them. And I'm certainly going to have some probably different views on some things today. We're going to talk about the federal troops going into Portland to try to restore order. I didn't get to that on yesterday's show, and also take a look at just exactly how low the left has sunk. My liberal friends out there, what has happened to you people? What has happened? But before that, we got a little bit of COVID stuff. I've got a very interesting clip from the WHO. It's kind of creepy. They are seeking to have a coordinated effort to quash any misinformation surrounding coronavirus. And from what I see, every official number that comes out has got huge elements of misinformation in and of itself. But anyway, we'll get into that. My quotes of the day today. This is Thomas Paine said, "He that would make his own liberty secure must guard even his enemies from oppression. For if he violates this duty, he establishes a precedent that will reach to himself. He that would make his own liberty secure must guard even his enemies from oppression. For if he violates this duty, he establishes a precedent that will reach to himself." And this is what we see time and time again. We're going to get into that today. We're always happy to have the big hand of government crush the other side whenever we want to. And then we cry foul when it comes for us. Also, another quote here, Bertrand de Jouvenel. "Sooner or later, a society of sheep must create a government of wolves." And I think we can pretty much say we've gotten to that point by now. If you want to join the show today, 601-879-0002. Today we have got Trump is going to restart the coronavirus press conferences. It was said in the news that this is a reaction to sagging poll numbers and that he needs to come out and, you know, take this more seriously, whatever they're saying. I think that the press conferences were just an absolute disaster when they were going on, in my personal opinion. So we'll see if they take a slightly different tone this time. I hope Trump does not lead these things again. I think he stepped into several things he shouldn't have stepped into, and I still, for the life of me, can't understand why Donald Trump doesn't come out from the very beginning of this thing and just say, "Look, I'm a real estate developer. What do I know about infectious diseases? You taxpayers have been paying tens of billions of dollars a year to places like the NIH and the CDC and all of your state health departments. These are the people that should be in charge of this. I'm here to facilitate any help that anybody needs in anything, but I mean, what do I know about infectious diseases?" Unfortunately, he did not take that tact. And he stepped into a whole host of responsibility for a lot of things that he shouldn't be responsible for. I take up for Donald Trump constantly when I talk to those friends of mine who believe that he has single-handedly botched the thing. It's stunning to me that you can pay the NIH $40 billion a year. You can pay the CDC $10 billion a year, yet you think they just can't operate, even though they get this $50 billion a year. They just can't operate if the president somehow gets in their way, which is just laughable. There's so many people that are responsible for response to a virus like this, and I would say it doesn't work. Anyway, we'll get into that. There was a story yesterday that I just couldn't let go. A story yesterday in U.S. News and World Report in their health section, and it is a profile of Anthony Fauci. Boy, they are really trying to turn this guy into something. I think the media has particularly jumped on the Fauci bandwagon because there seemed to be some tension between Fauci and Trump. It was science versus the president, and so they've been trying to pump this guy up into a hero for quite some period of time anyway. I am such a non-fan of Anthony Fauci, and I came to this from when he first came on the air and started talking about this thing. He seemed pretty reasonable. I have to understand. So if anybody's out there is a big Fauci fan, I kind of understand where you're coming from. At first, I thought the same thing, but the further he got into this thing, the more hyperbolic and more fear-mongering he did, and the fact he lied to everybody about masks seems, well, we're going to get into the story and talk about that. I was trying to find a couple of these. I didn't mark this story up real well. But he really kind of does a little bit of woe is me type thing here. He says, quote, I'm in a strange world here, he says. I've devoted my entire career, which is, 85% of my life, to infectious diseases, and now I'm caught in a historic pandemic. Which calls to my attention the fact that, yeah, you've been preparing for this thing for 85% of your life, dedicated your life to it, and these tens of billions of dollars, and this is what we get? This is the best you could do? You didn't have any PPE ready? You didn't have any? I mean, that's not Donald Trump's fault. That's the guy who's dedicated 85% of his life, and the agencies that have done the same. It's their problem. There were a couple of real woe-is-me things. Let me see if I can find these in here. He says, what kept me up at night is the emergence, usually jumping from an animal reservoir to a human, of a brand new virus that no one has ever seen before. Fauci says of his decades-long career working on infectious diseases, enter COVID-19, which meets a third criteria, can be deadly. Bingo, he says, the worst nightmare comes true. Now, I will remind people, this is Anthony Fauci, who is got his mitts in all kinds of ways to profit off of something like this. So what may be a nightmare to the vast majority of American people, not so much in the disease itself, but in the response of people like Fauci, it may be a nightmare for us. It is going to be a bonanza for him. He talked in here a little bit about how much of his life was boring, and he really wants it to go, to going back to being boring. Trust me, we're all with you there. Here he is. He says, They throw a little criticism at Donald Trump. Trump reported an incorrect claim that increased testing is driving a surge in cases and that his administration's efforts have potentially saved 2 to 3 million lives. So they do their little poke at Donald Trump there. And then it says, in contrast, Fauci is not one to sugarcoat. Quote, I do tell the truth, and I do say it like it is, even when people don't want to hear it. Well, that's interesting. Isn't this the same guy that lied about face masks? And he's admitted not that he got it wrong, that the science has evolved. No, he admitted that, no, I told everybody they didn't need a face mask because we were trying to save them for the healthcare professionals. But that's not how he couched it when he did it. Efforts to undermine Fauci's credibility appear to have escalated recently, a development he calls bizarre. And what this does, this whole story... Let's see, he says the political drama, Fauci says, is, quote, the garbage that's going on in the background of his work on an infectious disease like COVID-19, and while obviously it can be exasperating, he tries to ignore it. Has no plan to leave his position. Why the hell would I, he says. And he'll stay at the White House's Corona Task Force for as long as he thinks he can do more good from within than from without. This guy. It does, I'm not going to get into any more of the story, but the next subtopic is cult of personality, and that's exactly what we see. I think he floated for sexiest man alive? Brad Pitt was doing Fauci, and when you listen to the WHO thing in just a second, you'll kind of understand what we're up against when it comes to, trying to get all of the talking points of the health authorities out there. Anyway, this is just a poor, poor me, Fauci piece. This guy's an enemy, as far as I'm concerned. Where I stand on the virus, almost notwithstanding, it comes across as how out of touch he is. He doesn't understand, and a lot of these scientific people don't, particularly somebody who makes money off of pharmaceuticals. He doesn't understand the carnage that has been wrecked across this country. in their response to this coronavirus. He doesn't understand the bankruptcies. He doesn't understand having to shutter a business. He doesn't understand having to look an employee in the eye, an employee that's got two small children at home they need to provide for, and look at that employee and say, sorry, I got to let you go. There's no way I can maintain it. He doesn't understand small business owners going to the banks and saying, look, here are the keys. I can't do this anymore. He doesn't understand the landlords that aren't collecting rent. He doesn't understand college students who can't find jobs. He doesn't understand any of those things. And we go through this whole story. It's a poor, poor, pitiful me, Fauci story, about how hard he's worked and how truthful he's been. And he just doesn't understand why there's people that are pushing back on him, because he doesn't understand anything outside of his little academic world. He doesn't understand this other story. I touched on it yesterday. Just absolutely stunning stuff. And I go back to my original quote of the day. He that would make his own liberty secure must guard even his enemy from oppression. For if he violates this duty, he establishes a precedent that will reach to himself. And this was the story yesterday that came out of the couple. A woman gets tested positive for coronavirus. The woman underwent a voluntary test for COVID-19 before going to her parents in Michigan and found out she was positive but did not have any symptoms. The health department then contacted Elizabeth and requested that she sign documents that would restrict her travel unless she called the department first. She said she chose not to sign the documents because of one sentence. It's reported, quote, I will not travel by any public, commercial, or healthcare conveyance, such as ambulance, bus, taxi, airplane, train, or boat, without the prior approval of the Department of Health. This is what the document said. This woman said, my part was, if I have to go to the ER, if I have to go to the hospital, I'm not going to wait for the approval to go. She said she would not let workers, she said that she would let workers know that she had tested positive in the event that she needed to go to a hospital. Now, so she tests positive. She's not sick. She says she will voluntarily stay home and self-quarantine herself, but she won't sign the Department of Health's form requiring her to notify the Department of Health of any movements that she makes outside of her home by any means. She refuses to sign that, so officials from the Hendon County Sheriff's Department arrive at the couple's house days later without warning, to the surprise of husband Isaiah. He said, I opened up the door and there's like eight different people, five different cars. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? This guy's in a suit with a mask. It's the health department guy and three different papers for us, for me, her, and my daughter. And the couple must now wear ankle monitors, and cops will be notified if they travel more than 200 feet. Elizabeth, the woman who wouldn't sign this piece of paper, who has now been put on essentially house arrest by law enforcement, directed by the health department. And this is such a dangerous trend, I can't even begin to tell you. And this is why I read that first quote, one of the reasons for today's show. Those of you who support this because you think that she is some kind of a threat to society just because she got a positive COVID test. And just think about this too. Days before she got this positive COVID test, she wasn't experiencing any symptoms. She just got it as a point of caution before she went to go visit elderly relatives. This is obviously a fairly responsible person. But the day before she got this COVID test, she was positive. She was moving about society. She went to the testing facility. She was positive. She was moving about society. Who knows how long she's had it? She might have had it for a couple of weeks. She's been moving about society. But suddenly now she gets this stigma of a COVID test. And people who are taking this thing to this hysterical level are now willing to send the police and the health department out there to put ankle monitors on this woman because she won't sign a Department of Health form? Are you kidding me? This is the country you want to live in? Can you not coherently extrapolate exactly how this could be abused in the future? Every single disease? Every single emergency now requires that the police intervene. Law enforcement comes to your door unannounced with five vehicles and eight people to force you into a self-quarantine for doing nothing. And as Elizabeth said, she said, we didn't rob a store. We didn't steal something. We didn't hit and run. We didn't do anything wrong. And boy, does that drive home this point I've been trying to make since I got on the air, which is all of you who support the Patriot Act and you don't really care about the government spying on you and reading your emails and listening in on your phone calls and recording everything you do in society and tracking and tracing, and all of you out there who say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to fear. Well, is that really true? Because the definition of what you're doing wrong in the government's eyes can change in the course of a day. And you are going to regret, everybody who has had no problems with things like the Patriot Act, the surveillance grid that we have put into this country, because, and again, I tell you, we're watching the left freak out about this disease, and everybody's pointing to them and just saying, boy, you people have lost your mind. You're willing to give up all of these rights based on this disease that is not that deadly. It's only, if, you know, not only, but it's largely just affecting a small demographic of older citizens. I mean, you people really want to go through all this? You're really that scared? And I say to conservatives, I watched you go through that same fear after 9/11 and the idea of terrorism. You willingly gave up just a ton of rights because they scared you to death about terrorism, and they're still doing it for a lot of people up to and including today. You were putting up with losing your rights, but this has just gone insane. I'm looking for a house in the woods. And I'm not being sarcastic there. At this point, you almost just can't trust any community to actually stand up and protect Americans' rights. The left and all of their civil liberties ideas of the past are out the window. The right and the idea of limited government intrusion in our lives are completely out the window at this point. Everybody's just trying to use the government to beat the other side over the head with. But these are bad, bad developments. I'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. You know, if we're really going to get serious about fighting COVID, I mean, I think it's time to get really serious. I read a story. I've actually read a series of stories that are truly troubling, and I think we need to adjust course here. COVID is showing up in sewer systems. And when that happens, now I don't firmly understand, you know, how water treatment plants work, but that water goes somewhere. So the sewage goes in somewhere, it is treated, and then released somewhere. There's a possibility. I mean, it may be remote, but we're doing big things now on remote possibilities. So I think this is as acceptable as anything else. If they are finding COVID in the sewage system, and this could possibly end up in our water system, I think it is for that reason, that for the safety of the American people, that a decree from our overlords that the masks, to which some people refer to as face diapers, the face diaper, that is not enough. And now we need immediately for the American people to cease using toilets and rely on adult diapers until the crisis has passed. I really don't see another alternative, people. I mean, if we are going to really tackle this thing, we don't want to leave any room for escape for this disease if we're willing to shut down businesses that have been around for 20, 30, 50, 80 years. On the chance that two people in the store might meet up, one infected and one not. It's not a guarantee, but it could have happened. We're going to take a lot of huge swings at this thing based on possibilities. Then I really believe that it is time for the American people to close up those sewage vectors of COVID and start immediately moving to adult diapers. I would imagine now, diapers have to be thrown away. They could get into the water. It's less chance. It's less chance. I say we are now should be a fully diapered people, and it will make the infantilization of the American people complete at that point when we're forced into our own diapers. There's a video. I can't play it. His audio is not good. It's shocking. A woman on the beach. I believe this was in Florida. I'm not sure. The people recording it were Hispanic. They were speaking Spanish. This woman comes out. She loses her mind. Funny thing, she doesn't have a mask on. She's walking around with two tape measures in her hands and screaming at people that they're ruining it for everybody else. She's screaming so hysterically and going after these people that she has to be picked up by another guy that I assume is with this nut job. because she wasn't fighting him. He didn't look like a stranger. He has to pick her up and essentially carry her off. She's screaming the whole time. First of all, doesn't she know that screaming is the really big way to transmit this disease? How inconsiderate of her. But she is walking around both hands with 6 feet of tape measure in both of them, trying to, you know, a one-person vigilante nut job out on the beach trying to enforce social distancing. It is... We've had a mass mental breakdown in this country. This, I thought, was pretty interesting. The WHO, okay, so I hate the idea that this disease and the response to it and masks and everything has become politicized, and it has. And the problem that I have with that is that so many people are not looking at any common sense, or they're not actually studying reports from both sides. There's doctors who are pro-mask. There are doctors that are anti-mask. So I've been kind of really looking to see what the truth behind it is. I'm looking to see what the truth behind the numbers is. And I'm willing to go wherever that actually takes me. But most people do just take their side's talking points and they run with them. Now, my search for truth is based largely on, is this something we should be suspending personal freedom and should be destroying businesses for? And my conclusion to that is absolutely 100% not. But we've seen these a lot of people being deplatformed from YouTube and Google, people who disagree with Dr. Anthony Fauci, the sexiest man alive, according to many people. But people who disagree with him and don't subscribe to his prescription for what's going on right now, which is just wrecking our country, are being deplatformed. The WHO, this is just a very creepy clip. They've got something. They're calling it the infodemic. Now, I will say we do have an infodemic. I kind of like that term, actually, because I don't think human beings are designed to take in all the information we're taking in right now since the advent of the internet, and particularly since social media has come around. I think we're overwhelmed. I think we're proving on a daily basis that we cannot handle the amount of news that everybody is trying to absorb on a daily basis. Because we've decided to not really know anything about anything, not actually research anything, just take thousands of headlines and talking points a day and let those things scramble our brain. I just don't think we're designed to handle the barrage of information we've got right now. But the WHO, you can tell what their idea about the infodemic is. And this is their kind of their plan, their overarching thing. They really need to crack down on all this misinformation, which is a translation of there's a lot of people out there that disagree with them, and we need to find a way to get rid of them.
We're not just fighting an epidemic. We're fighting an infodemic. This famous quote from WHO Director General has been widely shared. So what is an infodemic? An infodemic is an excessive amount of information about a problem, making it difficult to identify a solution. During a health emergency, an infodemic can drown out reliable information and allow rumors to spread more easily, impeding an effective public health response. Why is it happening now? Information can spread faster than a virus. With rapid growth of digital communications and social media platforms, information spreads fast from online to our physical lives. And how does it affect us? Online information can negatively affect our psychology, daily lives, and behaviors, worsening the ongoing crisis at hand. Infodemics make it difficult to recognize accurate and reliable information that tells people what preventative actions they should take. Some even promote stigma, discrimination, or violence. Therefore, we all play an important role to share trustworthy information and reduce disinformation.
So basically what this is, and I'm going to let it finish up. Basically what this is anybody who disagrees with the WHO, anybody that disagrees with Anthony Fauci is really dangerous. We can't have any conflicting reports or advice. I mean, not these doctors that are out there right now telling us that masks are of no use, or telling us that the kids, you know, I played a clip the other day. Those five pediatricians said, oh, absolutely, these kids should go back to school. I'll send my kids back to school. All of those voices need to be crushed because they're dangerous. The too much information that they're talking about is anything that contradicts what they say. This horrible, ineffective organization that essentially doesn't really get much right much of the time.
Here are simple actions we can do to mitigate the infodemic. 1. Look for facts and evidence. Be critical when receiving information. Question the source for accuracy and evidence. Compare with other sources. 2. Choose carefully. Share, like, or forward only content from trusted sources. 3, be cautious. Do not reshare, forward, or like false information you know is not true. 4, be a good example. Correct or call out people in your social networks when they post something untrue.
I love that one. Correct or call out people in your own social circle if they share something that is not true. And this is just right up social media's alley. This is my big problem with social media, why I am a proponent of ditching it all across the board, because it creates this stuff. You put something out there just to provoke people or get other people all worked up, and everybody screams at each other online, that's a bogus story, that's been debunked, or any of this stuff. But I love, they actually want you to call out your friends publicly. They want you to publicly shame your friends if they share anything that does not conform with what the WHO believes is true.
Refer them to verified content and expert organizations for further information. 5. Spend less time online. Only seek the latest information at specific times of the day, once or twice a day if needed. Exercise, listen to music, or read a book. This helps to maintain good physical and mental health. Together, let's combat disinformation and misinformation. Turn the infodemic into a positive information experience, one that promotes facts and science.
So that's basically it. That's essentially the way I translate that is, shut up, slave. Don't do any of your own research. Don't listen to anybody but us. We're in control. The infodemic. Yeah, we've got an infodemic, all right, but it has nothing to do with the way they're postulating it there. When we come back, I'm going to move on to some other stuff. I wanted to find out from people what they think about Donald Trump sending federal law enforcement into Portland. Apparently there are reports that there are going to be 150 federal troops heading to Chicago as well. Is this a good idea or a bad idea? 601-879-0002. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. This show is, I think I'm about to say some things that people would disagree with, so I guess I'll just warn you. I know there's not, for some people, there's not a lot of tolerance for that. We seek a lot of confirmation bias, but much like I talk about the Patriot Act, there was no debate around the Patriot Act in this country whatsoever. There was no backlash to it. What happened was there was this fear instilled in everybody after 9/11 about terrorism, that there was a terrorist behind every bush, and we allowed some really horrible things to take over in the United States. I mean, a Soviet-style surveillance system exists in the United States right now. As William Binney, the former NSA guy, said, we have a turnkey tyranny. Actually, I thought I had come up with that term. I didn't know William Binney had said it until just a few weeks ago, but he had used the term probably before I did, which is essentially that, oh, yeah, well, you can trust the government because you think they're only fighting terrorism, but should the government ever get hijacked by some bad folks, we sure are giving them a lot of tools. You know, everybody's so scared that the socialists or the communists will take over. Well, you know, things like the Patriot Act gave them a huge tool to take over the United States and to control the people. So I think we suffer from a real lack of long-term vision. We want everything done and handled immediately That's why most people use microwaves. Maybe that's the difference in me. I don't use a microwave. I haven't used a microwave in 15 years because I don't think it's good for the food. I got time. I can put something on a stove. I got an extra 3 minutes when I'm cooking. But we live in microwave society. We want faster internet. We want everything solved immediately. We want executive orders to get things done so these creatures in Congress don't mess around. It just never, they want Congress to do something. Well, this idea of federal troops going into cities, are you for that or are you against that? And I understand absolutely the desire for law and order. You see some of these nut job leftists running around, particularly when it comes to Antifa, and people want to see them put into their place. And some of these Democrat-run cities don't want to crack down on them because that's a lot of their voting constituency is in charge of these types of things. So now we find ourselves in a situation where it is becoming increasingly more likely that Trump, particularly in this election year, to fulfill his campaign promise or his recent campaign promise in light of these protests, to be the law and order president. He was asked about sending these troops in a couple of days ago.
On Portland and other cities that are experiencing violence. There was a report out this morning that you're considering sending 175 federal troops to these cities to help local law enforcement. Can you fill us in on that?
It depends on what your definition of troops is. We're sending law enforcement. Portland was totally out of control. The Democrats, the liberal Democrats running the place, had no idea what they were doing. They were ripping down for 51 days, ripping down that city, destroying the city, looting it. The level of corruption and what was going on there is incredible. And then the governor comes, we don't need any help. How about Chicago? I read the numbers were many people killed over the weekend. We're looking at Chicago, too. We're looking at New York. Look at what's going on. All run by Democrats, all run by very liberal Democrats, all run really by radical left. But we can't let this happen to the cities. New York was up 348%, the crime wave. So the governor has to do something about it. And if the governor's not going to do something about it, we'll do something about it. But what's happening in New York, a place I love, New York, and look at what's going on over there.
So he's talking about a lot of cities around the country, and everybody knows about the violence. And he's definitely not wrong. I mean, these are Democrat-run cities. A lot of times it's Democrat-run cities and Democrat-run states. There's absolutely no argument for me on that. But I am asking, is this a good idea for Donald Trump to send federal law enforcement to do things that local law enforcement will not do? Mark Meadows, his chief of staff, also weighed in on this on Fox News. I think this is on the Maria Bartiromo, the Money Honey show.
Some of the unrest that we saw even in the last month or so, but particularly last night and in the week leading up to it in Portland, it's just not acceptable when you look at communities not being safe and not upholding the rule of law. So yeah. Attorney General Barr is weighing in on that with Secretary Wolf, and you'll see something rolled out this week as we start to go in and make sure that the communities, whether it's Chicago or Portland or Milwaukee or someplace across the heartland of the country, we need to make sure that our communities are safe.
So that's Mark Meadows, chief of staff for Donald Trump. Now, the reason I'm kind of asking, I mean, if you want to weigh in on this, give me a call here at the station, because I can't keep up with where the right and the left are anymore. I can't keep up with the core beliefs of either side of these things, because I think that they change so rapidly. I'm not sure where conservatives are on this. I'm not really sure where the left is. I mean, how is it that the people in Portland are complaining about federal troops coming into their streets to handle things when most people on the left look to the federal government to help them with everything? So it doesn't seem real consistent that you want the money flowing from Washington, D.C. You want all kinds of legislation flowing from Washington, D.C. You want your health insurance from Washington, D.C., but you don't want your law enforcement from Washington, D.C.? On the conservative side, I hear a lot of people over the years of being in the conservative world, I've heard a lot of people say things like states' rights. Do people still believe in states' rights, or is this that exception to it where a president doesn't, but they've just gone too far and we need to do something? Mike, if you're not seeing these left-wing governors in these Democrat-run cities, they're not doing anything. Something has to be done. So I'm just a little confused. I'll tell you what I think about it when we come back in just a second. I got to take a break. But I'm just confused because I can't keep up. Everybody's, you know, what seemed to be when I first started paying attention to politics 30 years ago, it seemed to me that each side kind of had some core beliefs. You know, there was a period of time where the left was pretty anti-war. They were pretty pro-free speech, the left was. But that's out the window now. Now the left is fine with the wars, and they want to silence anybody that disagrees with them. So the sands are shifting. I'm trying to keep up with everybody. I just know how I react to it. So if you want to weigh in, give me a call when we come back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
All night,
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, so what do Trump supporters, what do Republicans, what do conservatives think about sending federal law enforcement into these cities to quash some of these protests, some of these violent protests? They're doing a lot of property damage. I don't know if there's been a loss of life in Portland, but I'm sure there's probably been a loss of some businesses. So let me start this out by explaining. I understand. I think Antifa is just, it's like a bunch of kids hopped up on soy, which feminizes them, and Red Bull or crystal meth. They are twisted little freaks with a bizarre ideology of somehow opposing fascism by using fascist tactics. They are thugs and criminals and should be rounded up off of the streets as they commit these crimes and put in jail for a period of time. They're violent, horrible, horrible people. Now, I think they've been designated a terrorist organization in this country. I disagree with that. And again, this kind of goes to what is the solution to problems in this country? Is it this idea we just need to do something? And now that they're considered a terrorist organization, now this would be the first group, I believe, domestically to get this label. And, you know, with things like the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, with things like the Patriot Act, there's all kinds of things they can be subject to if they are labeled a terrorist organization. Do you want to see, even as twisted and misguided as some of these Antifa people are, as violent as they are, would you rather see them picked up by law enforcement, arrested and prosecuted as any crime would be? Because it doesn't really matter what your ideology is. If you crack somebody over the head with a bike lock in a barroom fight, or you do it in a street protest, it is the same crime. Does the politics of it make it different? Because right now, Antifa, if they are designated a terrorist organization, can be scooped up off the street with no phone call, no charges, indefinite detention without the right to an attorney. Is that what you want to see happen in the United States? Is the threat of Antifa so great to the United States? And believe me, they are a vile, disgusting group of people. Is the threat to the United States so much? Because can you imagine? And again, this is, I believe we've become so short-sighted here. We want everything to happen now. We don't think through a problem. What will happen when you have a President Biden or a President Elizabeth Warren 6 weeks after Biden gets in office and becomes incapacitated? When there's a President Elizabeth Warren or a President Kamala Harris or a President Hillary Clinton? I'm not saying she's out. I'm telling you, weirder things have happened in 2020. What do you think happens to the next conservative group that pops up that tries to march with open carry? And you've got a Democratic president, a Democrat in charge of the Department of Justice, a Democrat in charge of Homeland Security. Are you going to want to see those Tea Party patriots scooped up off the streets because these Democrats deem them to be a terrorist group now because they're armed and they're frightening a bunch of people? Do you think the Democrats wouldn't do that? And so the same thing goes, as far as I'm concerned, with this sending federal law enforcement into these cities. Now, I'm willing to have my mind changed somehow, but I do think there's an awful lot of lip service on the right about that rascally Constitution. We're always real excited about the Constitution, and conservatives a lot of times are very excited about states' rights, and they want the feds out of our lives, and we need a small, limited government. I think the Republicans still actually campaign on that, yet whenever there's a problem, I see so many conservatives running to the federal government to solve it. Now, first of all, I know that this by Donald Trump, or I suspect this is a fairly political move. So that, because I judge Donald Trump not as some kind of a deity, but more of a politician, because I believe that's what he is. He has his good parts. He has his bad parts. I try to assess those point by point here. But I believe this is an election year, and Donald Trump has decided one way to rally his base and to try to bring people who are rightfully, I would imagine, I've talked about it a lot in the air, there's got to be a lot of people out there that have been voting Democrat in some of these big cities, but they've watched the Democrats enable these riots, makes excuses for them, not protect their businesses, not protect their communities. There's probably a lot of Democrats out there that are pretty much ready to stop voting for Democrats because they see exactly the result of that. That's a natural process. It takes a little while. It doesn't happen overnight. But as the Democrats go more and more nutso on their side and become more tolerant of really, truly aberrant behavior, I think ultimately they're going to marginalize themselves, regardless of who is on the Republican side. People are going to be sick of watching their own cities burn. It was all love and light in Portland up until, you know, this year. So you could have a Democrat in charge of Portland, and everybody's kind of getting along. I'm sure they've got problems with homelessness and, you know, maybe drug addicts in the streets. I don't know. But, you know, Portland's whole thing was keep Portland weird. You know, it was kind of a funky little liberal town, and they did their things. Now it's gotten serious. A lot of people in Portland have to reassess who they put in charge of things, because what was maybe love and light last year or for the past several years as Portland was kept weird suddenly is a dangerous, violent situation. The people of Portland need to make that change. But for so many people, and I think a lot of conservatives, and I could be wrong, but I went to a Breitbart story on this stuff to read responses there, which I'll talk about next hour. And if the Breitbart crew, the Breitbart reader, is illustrative of what the mainstream conservatives and Republicans and Trump supporters are thinking right now, they want Portland cracked down on. They want the feds in there to clean up the streets and restore order. But what happens when a Democrat is in charge of this Department of Homeland Security down the road? You know, I started this whole show off with this quote for a reason, and I'll probably read it at the beginning of next hour, too, after I take a break. It was Thomas Paine. Founding fathers were just brilliant people. They had the virtue of being able to see long term, to weigh the consequences of actions in the long term, not just the immediate thinking. Thomas Paine says, "He that would make his own liberty secure must guard even his enemies from oppression, for if he violates this duty, he establishes a precedent that will reach to himself." And so I'm curious. I want to know where conservatives are, because I think I know where you stand. Judging by everything I've seen public and in comments and words I've heard so far, a lot of people are in favor of this taking feds into cities around the country to go ahead and crack down and restore law and order. I'd like to know what you think. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We'll be right back.
right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. The phone number here, 601-879-0002. We're talking about the idea of sending federal law enforcement. I think Trump's kind of right. I don't know if you'd consider this troops. These are Department of Homeland Security. You know, this this new giant law enforcement bureaucracy we set up in response to our fear over terrorism. There is something even creepy about the term homeland to me for some reason. It feels very fascistic to me, that term. I don't know if I just associate it verbally to Germany during World War II. I don't know what it is. It's just this idea. But anyway, we've got it. Nobody seemed to really care that we've got a whole new law. Everybody was so scared of terrorism that we set up a whole new federal force, and conservatives were fine with it. I'm trying to figure out. The reason I'd like to get some calls on this, I'm kind of surprised I'm not getting any. I'd like to get some calls on this because I'm trying to figure out where are conservatives these days kind of ideologically. Now, the knee-jerk reaction when you see a city burning is you want to see it stop. I've owned businesses. My heart breaks for the businesses that haven't just been set on fire, but that a bunch of bureaucrats have just shut down, which feels wildly unconstitutional to me, too, based on some virus that a bunch of adults can make a decision on, whether or not they want to go out and eat, whether they want to go get their hair cut. But we've got a bunch of petty tyrants all over this country that are just shutting down barbershops, not allowing you to get a haircut. I just did the story about the people with the ankle monitors approached by police and Department of Health because they wouldn't sign a Department of Health form. A very, very chilling development as far as I'm concerned, but man, it's not as interesting as what Kanye said yesterday. Did you hear the Kardashians? They may be getting divorced. This is a bigger story than the people being essentially put on house arrest at the point of a gun in response to COVID. But I'm trying to figure out where conservatives and liberals are these days because I feel like I'm pretty consistent in all this stuff. Here's the thing about the United States. You want to see the riots in Portland stopped. You want to see the graffiti stopped. You want to see, I don't know if they're burning things or, you know, we definitely want to see Antifa rounded up off the streets. That's the job of local law enforcement. And if they do not do it, you know what happens to Portland? The problem is this takes a little bit longer than anybody wants to deal with. Portland will just essentially decay. People will leave Portland. Or they will stay, and to protect their businesses, they might realize, well, we can't vote for any more of these weak Democrats who allow this stuff to, we want a law and order mayor of Portland. That may be what people come to, but that takes some time. We want it done today. The beautiful thing about the United States, there's so many great things about the system we were given, our geography, so many advantages to the U.S. And one of the most beautiful things to me is the idea of states' rights, because I don't want to not be an American. I don't want to have to move out of my country. The beautiful thing about Europe was they have all these different countries in Europe, very close. They're like states. And they all had their own cultures, and, you know, you had the Italians, and the Germans are very different. The Norwegian countries are very different. And they all relatively coexisted, you know, except for a couple of pesky world wars over there. But you know what I mean. They have this sovereignty, and everybody, I think, on conservative side, likes the idea of sovereignty, that people get to decide, determine their own fate. Well, unless Mike Pompeo comes out and says, we need to dictate who is going to rule Venezuela, then suddenly, and again, this is where I don't find any ideological consistency on any side of the political spectrum anymore. Donald Trump gives big speeches about national sovereignty. In his last State of the Union address, he talked a lot about the sovereignty of different countries, which is right. He's fighting against globalism. He says every country is a sovereign nation. And for that, I applaud Donald Trump. He's exactly right. But then when we disagree with the leadership of Iran or the disagreement with the leadership of Venezuela or Libya or Syria or any of these things, we attack them. We suddenly don't care about sovereignty anymore. We're ready to replace governments with whoever we want. Well, the same is true for the states here. I'm consistent on this throughout, that states are sovereign places. If Portland is experiencing problems, if Chicago, the violence in Chicago, I know a lot of us out here are scratching our heads. Why do you keep electing these same Democrats who are allowing your kids to be slaughtered in the streets? We all have that thought. I have it too. The beautiful thing about the United States is that's kind of their problem. As sad as it is, I'd like to see it stop. If you want to see a lot of gang violence stop, you end the war on drugs, but most people aren't prepared to do that. I mean, that's just silly, Mike. You've created a bunch of drug gangs all across the country the same way you created liquor gangs back in the 1920s, but we can't seem to think our way out of that paper sack anymore. But the beautiful thing about the United States is if you're in Chicago and you're in these neighborhoods, or if you're in these areas and your Democrat politicians are failing you, you either vote them out or you vote with your feet and you leave. Now, that's what's happening to a lot of these cities. It's sad. I feel bad for the people that aren't of means, that can't get out of those cities, but they do always still have a vote. Why the poor residents of Chicago in the most violent neighborhoods are not making some political change and demanding some assistance is beyond me. I can't get in that head. But the federal government can't save everybody. It's like coronavirus, any of these things. So do conservatives still believe in states' rights, or only states' rights when it's an issue you care about and the federal government is run by Democrats? Then states' rights are important, but not now, Mike. This is not the time. Have you seen what's happening around the country? And again, this desire to want these immediate results and to be seen as, you know, this law and order country, we're not going to put up with the lawlessness. I may go to these Breitbart articles since I'm not getting really any weigh in on this particular issue. I saw conservative after conservative. I've got a clip of Judge Napolitano coming out. You know, you can't. I'm one of the only shows that can still do Judge Napolitano, because Judge Napolitano has not loved everything Donald Trump has done. So most conservatives won't ever play him, and most conservatives don't want to listen to him because he's some kind of a traitor to Donald Trump. This is what we live in. It's essentially a cult of personality. It's so funny to me. It's the cancel culture on the right. Judge Napolitano says some things you don't want, so you want him off of Fox News. He's a traitor. We don't want to listen to anything Judge Napolitano has to say, but he's one of the best constitutionalists out there. And I find it fascinating. I watch the right, who just seems to endlessly talk about the Constitution, but someone like Judge Napolitano is a pretty big constitutionalist. They don't want to hear from him anymore because he disagreed with Donald Trump. So a lot of people say, well, I love the Constitution, unless somebody who speaks up for the Constitution actually goes against Trump. I mean, Thomas Massie, poor Thomas Massie, they're trying to run him out of the Republican Party because he dared to force a vote on the largest stimulus spending bill in the history of mankind. And he got in the way of this endless debt spending and budget busting debt that's laid on the heads of our grandchildren. People want him run out of the party. Trump said, run him out of the Republican Party. He's a grandstander, a big fat do nothing. And people turned on Thomas Massie. This is the same people on the right who I hear talking about the Constitution all the time. So I'm just lost. I'm in this weird place of what I think is, I'm staying consistent on this, but everybody around me is moving. The left that was free speech is now for total control of speech. The left doesn't only want to control speech. And again, this is the party that just a decade ago was big into free speech. The left, the liberal college campus, was your bastion in this country of free speech. Now they are totalitarian left-wing zones. And not only can you not say things that don't agree with the radical leftists, if you don't say anything, you're somehow committing some level of a thought crime. I saw yesterday these mommies in Portland that were marching. And it was really odd because this is in light of these, Black Lives Matter protests. Almost every one of these moms was white. And there was some little petite blonde-haired woman with kind of a bob haircut. She's carrying one of these placards right in front of her chest. It says, silence is violence. And I just think, what the hell happened to the woman? I assume she's a leftist. She actually believes now that if you don't speak, that you're guilty of something. But then if you do speak and you say the wrong thing, you're also guilty of something. That leaves you only one out, which is completely toe the left line on every issue, or you're silenced and destroyed. But anyway, I'm just watching every group around me shift. There's no ideological consistency on anything, and I'm just struggling to figure out exactly where conservatives stand here. Are states' rights no longer in? Are they out now? I mean, I got to start playing by these rules. You know, I want a popular radio show. I need to know how the sands have shifted. I'll bet you, let me just make a prediction to you. I'll bet you if Joe Biden happened to pull off a 2020 win and was president in 2021, I'll bet states' rights would be pretty important to conservatives again. Right now, not so much. And that's the problem, and one of the things that people like myself, that consider ourselves libertarians, small L libertarians, say is, you don't keep giving these people power because it changes hands, if you haven't noticed. And those words are not taken to heed because of the short-sightedness that we have. I mean, eventually, I think that if Portland continues to devolve into what it is, there's going to be enough people that are affected by the violence and the inconvenience and the problems in Portland that is going to crack down on itself. Now, CHOP, CHAZ, in Seattle. Luckily, Trump didn't go in there. I was against Donald Trump going in there. A lot of conservatives wanted him to go in. Well, you know what happened? It petered away eventually, and now it's funny the way it happened. CHOP went after the Seattle mayor's house. They went to go protest her. The next day, she took it down. And that's a lesson to you on the left. You think these people are your friends. They are not. They will do away with you the second you become inconvenient to them. But at least that remedied itself. Seattle took care of their own problem. Is this bad now? Waiting for these cities and these states to handle up on their own? Or is it the federal government's job now to solve every single ill in society? You don't have health insurance, the federal government will give it to you. You don't have a job, federal government will give you an unemployment check. And I tell you what, they're going to sweeten it with $600 a week. They got to educate our kids. I mean, what problems are not at the federal government's discretion now? The states are just essentially just sitting back and just, I don't know. I mean, what's the point of even having state governments at this point? What's the point of having any local law enforcement if it doesn't really matter if ultimately the feds decide whether the law enforcement is good or bad in these areas? Why don't we just turn it all? Why don't we just federalize everything? It seems to be the logical thing. I mean, doesn't that at least streamline it to some degree, make it maybe more efficient? If you don't want Mississippi to be any different than Washington State, if you believe the federal government should be in charge of law enforcement across the country, then let's just go ahead and nationalize it all. I mean, isn't that the logical progression of what we're talking about here? And everybody will justify this in their mind. Well, you don't understand. This time it's different. I'm normally with you, my state's rights and all, but you don't understand what's going on with X, Y, and Z, and that's why some action needs to be taken. It's up to Donald Trump. You can't let American citizens live in fear in their own cities. And I'm somewhat sympathetic to that idea. I mean, Donald Trump is the president of all people in the country. The Department of Justice is supposed to serve all people of the country. Department of Homeland Security is supposed to help all people of the country. So I understand that kind of on an emotional sense, but it's this lack of this each party wanting to use the federal government to beat the other side over the head with it is, I think, kind of new. And I talked to a conservative on it. I've got to be honest with you. Last 20 years, I'm kind of disappointed in it. Everybody's against the wars. Thank goodness Donald Trump came around to start finally calling out these wars. Everybody's against the wars, except that they're okay with the Venezuelan war and an Iranian war. I want the old wars ended, but if they happen to start a new one with Iran, somehow that's justified. I mean, you understand how this doesn't make sense to somebody who tries to be consistent? Anyway, I've got other topics here I can move on. I may play Judge Napolitano, and I do want to get to this Tucker Carlson clip. What the left seems poised to do to Tucker Carlson, I just ask again to the left, what has happened to you? I know so many good-hearted liberal people. I take up for you on this air all the time. I don't like your policies. I don't like your nanny state stuff. But I think you got a good heart. And then stuff like this Tucker Carlson comes up where the New York Times is apparently going after him. And I just think, how could you possibly support this? If you were all for peace and love and, you know, kindness towards your neighbor, how in the world are you supporting what's going on the left right now? So we'll get to that as well today. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, I'm going to finish up on this idea of federal law enforcement going into states to quell riots and stuff. Let me just say, it's basically a warning. I mean, this warning will fall in the deaf ears that many people who warned about the Patriot Act, and then it was used against candidate Donald Trump, and everybody's incensed. And what you have to understand is people like me, and I learned from people much smarter than me, I didn't oppose the Patriot Act when it came out. They scared the bejesus out of me with terrorism, too. I supported the Iraq War. And now I look at that and go, boy, wasn't I dumb. That was really stupid of me. I made a mistake. That's something you won't hear a lot in the United States anymore. But there were a lot of people out there warning about something like the Patriot Act coming out. But nobody said anything. Because it felt like that's what you needed to do. If you're not doing anything wrong, we need to give the feds all these tools because, Mike, you don't understand what we're facing with these radical jihadists. They're coming after us. They hate us for our freedom. Yeah, they don't hate us because we've been occupying their lands and, you know, allowed corporations to take over their oil fields and, you know, swapped out governments from time to time and funded dictators in those areas to make sure that we got, you know, that our big corporations got their oil. That's not why they hate us. They hate us because our little girls can vote. But that was sold, and many people still believe that. But a lot of people warned you about the Patriot Act, but you thought, no, I'm kind of with you. It doesn't really feel good that our federal government is spying on everybody, but to fight terrorism, we must do it. And then it's used against Donald Trump, and everybody goes, what? That's not right. They're not supposed to do that. Well, the same thing with federal law enforcement. You start letting them into every city to quell every little bit of violence and every problem around this country. You are going to look up in 20 years and wonder why you have a federal-controlled police force in your city with all the tools of the Patriot Act and everything else. And when the Democrats get control or these socialists finally get enough of a headwind somewhere, you're going to be really sorry that you were real excited about federal law enforcement going into these towns. And just remember what's today, July 21st of 2020. Just remember, I mean, if you're listening, now a lot of people will just turn this off because it makes your head hurt. You really want to support Donald Trump. You want to support law and order. Last thing you need is somebody saying, we might want to rethink this. So you just ignore it. But for those of you listening, remember this date. And in 20 or 30 years, when we live in a true police state, complete surveillance and a federal police force micromanaging everybody's life around the country from one little central hub in Washington, D.C., much like Moscow ran the show in the Soviet Union, when you've got the secret police, you might not have riots. I'll give you that. You might not have any protests or riots. If that's what your ultimate goal is, that might be good because it may not be allowed anymore. This isn't even a slippery slope situation. This is just flat out a bad, bad, bad idea. Judge Napolitano is not welcome on a lot of conservative media today, but I'm going to give him a platform because he actually talks about the Constitution, whether he had his dust up with Donald Trump or you think he hates Trump. I mean, the guy has said both positive and negative things about Donald Trump. I respect that. Hey, but he went on Fox News and they had him on about this, and I'll just let him say his piece and then you can make up your mind.
The state of Oregon is suing federal agencies, accusing them of violating protesters' civil rights and, quote, unlawful detentions in Oregon. Do they have a case? Let's ask Fox News senior judicial analyst, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Good to see you, Judge. Thanks for joining us. So what is your verdict?
Well, the federal government cannot put troops or military personnel or police on the streets without the invitation of the governor or the legislature of the state. That's not only federal law, that's in the Constitution. And as horrific as it is for people who believe in the sanctity of the person and of private property to watch this destruction, there's very little that the feds can do about it. The Supreme Court has made it clear, as your last guest, the former police officer that he is, Mr. Marino, said, that health and safety is exclusively the province of the locals. Now, here you have locals who look to Antifa and Antifa's supporters for political support.
Yes.
So the local authorities, Mayor Wheeler, is not going to let the police do what they want to do. So you have a vice here. You have anarchy on one hand, and then if the troops come in the street, you have a potential for even more violence on the other hand. What happened in Portland over the weekend, David, was not only unlawful and unconstitutional, it was just plain wrong. Sending armed, untrained police into the streets wearing fatigues without the knowledge or consent of the local police actually caused more violence. All the people that they arrested, David, they didn't file one criminal complaint against anybody because they didn't have a basis to do so. They were just grabbing innocents off the streets.
You know, the House Democrats are asking now the Inspector General's office to investigate the use of these federal officers to keep things under control there.
Now, see, this is the real challenge to me. It's when, you know, I despise the Democratic Party as much as anybody. And so when people hear this, they go, well, if the Democrats are against this, I need to be for it. That's the real test of whether or not you have any ideological consistency. When you can pick and choose when you fight the Democrats, when they do something, as much as you might hate them, but just because they are for something or and they're doing this to hurt Donald Trump. We know it's political, but it doesn't mean you just disregard the Constitution, ignore all the potential future problems of the idea of a federal law enforcement that goes in to run the streets just because the Democrats are making an issue of it. This is the very difficult part. I understand that, but it's something we better get over. And same for the left. When the Republicans are doing something that you can actually agree with, or if they're on the right side, you need to stand down and not just oppose Republicans just by the fact that they've got R's behind their name. This is the hyper-politicization of the country, and it's what suspends all independent thought. Well, the Democrats are against this, so I've got to be for it. And you just ignore the fact, well, it might be unconstitutional. I thought you were a fan of the Constitution.
Because a lot of innocent people, not to mention business properties, individuals, private properties being disturbed, if not destroyed by all these actions. Here's what the Democrats say. They say that they are trying to object to the use of force against Americans exercising their right to peaceful assembly. Well, as we've pointed out quite clearly with our video, this was anything but a peaceful assembly. We do have the right to a peaceful assembly, but what happens when that is violated by the demonstrators themselves when they become violent?
And to make matters worse, when you have police whose hands are tied behind their back because the elected public officials whom the Supreme Court says control the police don't control the elected officials, the elected officials control them, don't want to do anything about it. You have a lot of peaceful demonstrators. The complaint filed by the Attorney General of Oregon against the Department of Homeland Security recounts horror stories of peaceful people being kidnapped, held blindfold, handcuffed, and incommunicado for just two hours, and then let go. There's no reason to disturb those people. The people they should stop are the ones with the baseball bats.
Well, clearly
bats
they are trying to stop
property.
The people with the baseball bats as well. We've seen that. We've seen their attempts to do that, exactly that. And we've also seen quite clearly the damage and destruction wrought on these two cities by very violent militiamen of the far left.
So the federal government can't do what it doesn't have the authority to do, and it shouldn't do anything without the coordination of the locals. And if the mayor, for whatever sound or perverse reason he may have, does not want the feds in his streets, and if the governor doesn't ask for them or the legislature doesn't ask for them, this is Madison, David. This is the Constitution. Yeah. Then they can't go there. It's plain and simple as that. And if the people are suffering, they have to elect a new mayor.
It's extraordinary that somebody would.
And that's the thing. Again, I don't know, anybody really will. I'll change any minds. I may not be the best deliverer of this kind of information, but this is something you should remember. We live in a pretty Republican state. Can you imagine for a conservative cause, conservatives taking to the street, and you've got a Democrat running the Department of Homeland Security, a Democrat running the Department of Justice, a Democrat running the federal government, and they don't like all those conservative protesters down in little old Mississippi causing a bunch of problems, bottling up traffic and doing open carry. And so your Democrat president and your Democrat run Department of Homeland Security decides that they're going to come down and start snatching up peaceful protesters or conservative protesters in Mississippi at some point. This is how it works. It's kind of like free speech. You know, they say, I may disagree with what you say, but I will fight to my death your right to say it. And that's the kind of moment that these things are called for right now. We may disagree completely with the way that Portland's handling it. We may disagree with the way Oregon handles these things. We may have pity for the people in Oregon, but it's their bed to lie in. They need to vote these people out. They need to move. They need to desert these cities and just let them burn until they learn their lesson. But the idea of rolling out federal law enforcement across this country to solve every ill in every community is a very, very, very bad idea. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. So, in my the theme of the show essentially is what, you know, where is the right, where is the left? I don't know what's considered conservative. I don't know what's considered liberal anymore. It seems to change issue by issue. People pretty much just follow their political class or they follow the mob, and they don't really have any core beliefs. That's the way I view it. Maybe I'm wrong somehow, but it's kind of like if, you know, we're all for X, Y, or Z, unless it's the other guy doing it, or we're all for, you know, the other guy's not doing X, Y, and Z, unless it's our guy doing it, and then we're okay with it. That's essentially where we are in the political world now. And for all of you people on the left, all you love and light people, all these liberals that I say you got good hearts, you want to see people taken care of, you don't like homelessness, you want people to have health insurance, I'll disagree with you all day about how to provide those things for people. But would you really participate in something like this? The New York Times, I mean, they essentially have just become a criminal organization. And if this story plays out, this is Tucker Carlson talking about the fact that the New York Times is considering doxing him. Or have been putting reporters on him to figure out, well, I'll let him tell the story.
One more thing before we go tonight. Since this show began almost 4 years ago, I've really tried not to talk about myself on the air or even use the first person pronoun. The last thing this country needs is more narcissism. It's not very interesting anyway. People who use the word I a lot tend to bore everyone but themselves. But tonight we're going to make an exception to that rule. We don't have much choice. Last week, the New York Times began working on a story about where my family and I live. As a matter of journalism, there is no conceivable justification for a story like that. The paper is not alleging we've done anything wrong, and we haven't. We pay our taxes, we like our neighbors, we've never had a dispute with anyone. So why is the New York Times doing a story on the location of my family's house? Well, you know why. To hurt us. To injure my wife and kids so that I will shut up and stop disagreeing with them. They believe in force. We've learned that. 2 years ago, a left-wing journalist publicized our home address in Washington. A group of screaming Antifa lunatics showed up while I was at work. They vandalized our home. They threatened my wife. She called 911 while hiding in a closet. A few weeks later, they showed up again at our house. For the next year, they sent letters to our home threatening to kill us. We tried to ignore it. It felt cowardly to sell our home and leave. We'd raised our kids there in the neighborhood, and we loved it. But in the end, that's what we did. We have four children. It just wasn't worth it. But the New York Times followed us. The paper has assigned a political activist called Murray Carpenter to write a story about where we are now. They've hired a photographer called Tristan Spinski to take pictures. Their story about where we live is slated to run in the paper this week. Editors there know exactly what will happen to my family when it does run. I called them today and I told them. But they didn't care. They hate my politics. They want this show off the air. If one of my children gets hurt because of a story they wrote, they won't consider it collateral damage. They know it's the whole point of the exercise, to inflict pain on our family, to terrorize us, to control what we say. That's the kind of people they are. They'll deny this, of course. They'll claim it's just journalism, just the facts. Really? So how would Murray Carpenter and his photographer Tristan Spinski feel if we told you where they live, if we put pictures of their homes on the air? What if we publicize the home address of every one of the soulless robot editors at the New York Times who assigned and managed this incitement to violence against my family? What about the media editor, Jim Windolf? We could do that. We know who they are. Would that qualify as journalism? We doubt they'd consider it journalism. They'd call it criminal behavior if we did it. And that tells you everything.
So what this is this is the left doing what people do now. They carve out exceptions. I've spent the better part of last couple of segments talking about the idea of federal law enforcement going into sovereign states, cities, and cleaning house. And a lot of people, I would imagine, say things like, well, I don't like the idea of the federal government going into states uninvited and doing stuff, but Portland, I don't like the overreach of the federal government. Yeah, I wouldn't want to see federal police on in every city across America. That's too much. But Chicago, see, you make that exception. And so what the left will do is they'll say things like, well, no, we never want to hurt anybody. We would never employ these kinds of tactics. And what Tucker Carlson is talking about reminds me, when I hear it, it sounds like what a bunch of rednecks did to black people back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, right? Surround their house, intimidate them, scare the children, scare the wife, burn a cross in the front yard. And most liberals would never say that's a good idea, right? We ended those practices because they're absolutely horrific. But then the left will carve out an exception for Tucker Carlson. Yeah, I don't condone people being threatened in their own home, and I don't condone innocent children being made fearful to even walk in and outside of their house, except Tucker Carlson, because he's such a X, Y, or Z. So the left has sold their soul on this stuff because a bunch of their nut job leadership derives power off of working them up into a mob and getting you to put aside all of the good tendencies of your humanity that you had had as leftists for a while, as liberals. I don't want any leftists don't have any good ideas. Some good-hearted liberals who were for peace and love, actually, which I think is admirable. But they're getting you to set aside all of that humanity because they tell you, Tucker Carlson, he's so dangerous with the words that he says. Has Tucker Carlson ever shot anybody, killed anybody, hurt anybody? Does Tucker Carlson have any power to arrest you or your family or take any of your stuff? No, of course not. He's got ideas and he goes on air. And the left will tell you, these leftist nut jobs have got good-hearted liberals thinking, yeah, we would never want to hurt anybody. We're the party of compassion and inclusion. But when it comes to Tucker Carlson, we tell you he's so dangerous. You need to set aside all of the good about you. Because Tucker Carlson's a Nazi or he's a white supremacist or whatever other crazy things they say about it. Because Tucker Carlson words are so harmful. They're so dangerous. That it's okay to surround his family and terrorize his children. That's what the left has become. And that's really his whole show today. Everybody's got these core beliefs. On the left, it's love and light and compassion and inclusion and but then they make exceptions for anybody who disagrees with them ideologically or who might want to debate them on some of the things. Oh, suddenly that person becomes a Nazi. Suddenly you're not so compassionate. You're not so inclusive. You're not so loving. And then I watch this on the right, as I've been talking about right now. Yeah, we don't want a big federal government bossing us around. When that Obama was in, you know, he used those spying powers to spy on candidate Trump. We can't believe it. We're incensed. We want people put in jail. And you forget the fact that you gave them that power in the first place about 20 years ago when George W. Bush was in office and the Republicans were running things and they convinced you to make that exception, right? Yeah, we're all for the Constitution. We're all for public, you know, for individuals in this country having your own privacy and being your own people. We don't want federal overreach, except they give you the exception, except when it comes to terrorism. We need every tool possible. It's always that exception that gets you to breach your core beliefs and takes you along on that, on the crazy train. They get you to, oh, suspend all of those things we've been telling you for 40, 50 years that are our core beliefs, because this is the exception where you need to accept it. This is why we need federal law enforcement into Chicago, because it's just so bad. And like I say, the motto of the American people at this point should be, duh, okay.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, final segment of the day. You can reach me, Mike Madison, at WYAB.com if you want to tell me why I'm wrong on something or get in touch with me. Don't go to Facebook. I pulled my Facebook page. I'm done with Facebook. So I don't think I have a page there. My page resurrected one time when I tried to quit Facebook, but it resurrected itself. I think I've taken care of that. Anyway, you can email me, Mike Madison, at WYAB.com if you've got anything to say. You know, the thing that I think is frustrating to me, and I do think I'm an independent thinker. I have my own biases and all kinds of human failings, but I do feel like I'm way more consistent than the majority of people. It's so easy to figure out if you're being a hypocrite, and both political parties, both sides of the spectrum are so wildly hypocritical. And it's an easy exercise to do. You can kind of test yourself because I think you can be unconditioned. I mean, I was a hypocrite for a long time. I was going to church, you know, trying to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And then I would come out of church and stand in the parking lot and talk about how we need to just go and nuke Iran. Or nuke Iraq at the time, excuse me. Yeah, we need to go over there and just turn the whole place into glass. Now, how is that possibly consistent to go in and listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ and then come out and say, I want to destroy a whole country because my government told me they're no good, that their president is bad. So we need to send our troops and our bombs over there and just destroy all of them. How could I possibly do that within hours of being in a church service? It's quite stunning to me. So I believe there is a possibility of redemption and to people to embrace independent thought. So if you are on the left and you see this attack on Tucker Carlson and you shrug your shoulders, I don't care, the guy's a Nazi. All you have to do to see if you have any honesty in you is just say, well, if that was Joy Reid and Breitbart was threatening to send out her address where she and her husband and her children lived because Breitbart didn't like what she talked about, and Breitbart wanted to encourage a mob to go surround Joy Reid's house and terrorize her family. Would you be okay with that? If you look at what else that we've talked about today with these federal law enforcement going to cities, all you have to ask yourself is, if these were conservative protests and Hillary Clinton was the president and she sent federal Homeland Security people to go after open carry conservatives in the street, would you think it's a great idea to have federal law enforcement directed into your city for that purpose? Now, what's funny to me is, too, I've begun to understand human nature. And out of both of those illustrations there, there are people on both sides of the aisle, and they would say, well, yeah, but this is different. That's the out of all of it, right? There's always a reason. This is different. Tucker Carlson says things that Joy Reid would never say. The left-wing protesters are doing things that conservative protesters would never do. There's always that exception. It's always this, it's like a mental escape hatch that everybody wants because they get so uncomfortable. So many people have got differing views inside their head at the exact same time. I love my fellow human beings. I want the best for everybody. This nation will only succeed if everybody does well. I want a fair and free and prosperous United States. But if some kid's driving down the road and he's got a bag of marijuana in his pocket, I want him to do jail time. I want his future ruined. I hate this cancel culture that's going after and people can't go to college campuses. Conservatives are being run off the rails. Google's censoring them and YouTube's censoring them. It's just wrong. Everybody should be able to speak their mind. This is America. Except that Colin Kaepernick guy. He needs to be fired. Why doesn't he just move to another country? He took a knee. He did something I don't like. He needs to be run out on a rail. I don't like Colin Kaepernick, but I'm at least intellectually consistent enough to go, you know what, Colin Kaepernick, I may not approve of what he does. He's not speaking for me when he does what he does, but I'm glad he can do it because that means that my side, if I want to protest something, then I can make a big scene somewhere too, peacefully. It's all these exceptions that we carve in because our brains just cannot handle being such huge hypocrites on so many issues. So we do this little escape hatch, and it is always pretty much, most of the time, it's, yeah, but this is different. This is different. You don't understand that this is different. Yeah, I'm not for this, except for this. The truth is, it's not different. These are big directions that we are changing in the United States. I don't like federal bailouts. We don't like the banks being bailed out. But if we didn't, it was all going to collapse. So we have to like the bailouts. This kind of stuff. There's always that exception because this time is different. Well, I'm telling you, you're being tricked. You're being tricked on both sides by the people who derive power from all of these things. And we're going to end up with a country we don't even recognize if we don't start getting our feet back under us. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.